We go live to Ukraine and Joseph Lindsley. And Joe, I'm hearing about President Zelensky saying that the Ukraine army has asked for up to 500,000 more people to be mobilized. Is that the talk you're hearing right now?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Lviv. And it's sort of in accord with what we were discussing yesterday, some of the mobilization and how, you know, there are people. I would say you could say it does feel like it's increased the number of people who are being conscripted to fight. When President Zelensky says this, mobilizing, you know, say 500,000 more, it's a huge number. People are feeling that impact. But that's a recognition of what we're beginning to see, the stark reality, not just from the West in general, but especially from Washington, that refusal to send the long range weapons and the permission to use them that Ukraine needs to stop Russia. And without that ability to go on the offense, Ukraine is simply going to have to send guys to the front to hold the line. And so this is the I think in some ways, I mean, you have to prepare for that reality. But also by saying that, it's a warning from President Zelensky that if something doesn't change sort of in the Western view of what's happening here, it's going to be a very terrible situation. And you know, we had, for example, last night, the city of Kharkiv was hit, you know, just 30 miles from Russia. People there said it was one of the loudest nights in a long time. Car alarms were going off. The Russians destroyed a tram station, really just trying to, you know, the continued sort of to terrorize the population. But places like that are completely vulnerable because they do not have the Patriot missile system. There's only a few of those in this huge country. And there's nothing like that in Kharkiv. And it's, you know, it's so close to Russia, the Russians can fire from their local bases, and Ukrainians not only don't have really the weapons to hit those bases, they can send some drone attacks and do some minor damage, but they don't have the long-range weapons, and they don't have the permission from Washington. And I think when we look at the headlines, you know, a lot of the sort of the I would say the narrative right now is that Republicans are hurting Ukraine by not voting for this aid package. And I just saw a story from David Frum in The Atlantic saying that same idea. It's all the Republicans' fault. But really, I think we have to look and say it's actually Washington's fault, because the Democrats who say they support Ukraine, they refuse to support this idea that Russia can be defeated. They refuse to send Ukraine the weapons that it needs. And if we look at, you know, what has happened these past months since August and September, you know, there was great momentum in August when Ukraine started to attack the Russian Black Sea Fleet. And then, you know, United States sent a smattering of the attack-ins, those long-range missiles, just a smattering, like maybe about a dozen in September. And then what has happened since? And no reporters have been asking that question. You know, what was the strategy? What was being delivered during that time? Really, all that happened was people said, oh, the F-16s will arrive in March. And Ukrainian pilots have begun their training, but there's been no real movement of weapons during the fall, and now we're on the eve of the first day of winter, and so this really should be examined. But instead, we see something very different than disturbing. I mean, the Washington Post has this headline today: Moscow glows triumphant as front freezes and Western aid for Ukraine stalls. Mm-hmm. It's a story by their Moscow correspondent, Franziska Ebel. And in that story, she just writes, matter-of-factly, Kyiv's failed counteroffensive. Front lines largely a stalemate. There's not a single mention of what Ukrainians are calling the Battle of the Black Sea. The fact that Russia had to move the entire headquarters of its naval fleet hundreds of miles away, toward the nation of Georgia, because it was too close to Ukrainian ability to attack with the weapons that they have. And there's not even a single mention in this sort of fatuous story in the Post. And so this is what we're starting to see is, you know, whether intentionally or just reporters and editors not thinking and not remembering yesterday or a few months ago, We're starting to see this narrative develop that somehow Moscow is triumphant, which, again, you know, Putin probably benefits from, you know, he's probably happier than he's ever been because more people are afraid of him than ever. And that goes into his psychology. But if you look at anyone who's in Ukraine today compared to a year ago, would have to say Ukraine has triumphed in many ways. And none of that gets mentioned in these stories.
We appreciate you giving us the real story from Ukraine, and it has to be very frustrating for you and the people there. The negotiations on aid for Ukraine and Israel pick up again, but not until January. On a brighter note, let me acknowledge this letter from a friend of yours, Joseph, Jim Gamache, who writes to us and sent a very lovely, actually three very lovely embroidered shirts. Bob, enclosed you will find three shirts for you. Joseph, help me with the pronunciation, the description of these shirts. What kind of shirts are they in Ukraine?
Veshivanka.
Veshivanka shirts. They're beautiful. Anyway, these are for you, Haley, and Control Room Joe. They come from your friend of 2 years, Joe Lindsley, who wanted you to have them before the holidays. I had the privilege of traveling with Joe for 6 weeks throughout Ukraine in September and October. As we both realize, he is a treasure for us and for the WGN radio audience. He's a brilliant journalist and writer who has dedicated this portion of his life to reporting the truth, and he will not waver in his commitment to his profession and the Ukrainian people. I met Joe on my first trip to Ukraine in May when he was visiting the frontline kitchen in Lviv and I was chopping vegetables. That's when he told me about his daily broadcast on WGN. I was surprised since I live in the western suburbs of Chicago, but did not know of his presence on your show. Since then, and especially since my travels with him, I am committed to helping him gain a bigger audience, both for your show and in other social media markets. For a fact, I've convinced a number of friends and family members to listen to you daily. Joe's most avid admirer and a longtime listener of yours, Elke, is constantly telling everyone she knows and meets they must listen to you and Joe. As you know, Joe does not receive any compensation for his work and relies on donations through his Ukrainian Freedom News website. For a fact, I can tell you he uses most, if not all, of those funds to buy supplies and equipment for soldiers and those most in need. And then finally, Jim writes, for the winter months, I am spending my time in Florida, but will return occasionally before late spring. I'm hopeful that we may be able to meet at some point. In the meantime, thank you for having Joe on your show, and thanks for considering my thoughts. He also sent us several CDs from a famous Polish jazz singer. So, Jim Gamache, thank you so much. And, Joseph, what he said about you, we all feel around here. And it's a nice way to kind of get into the holidays.
Well, thank you, Bob, and thank you, Jim, for that support and for delivering those gifts to the great WGN team. And, you know, there's an example of, you know, people far away listening, paying attention to Ukraine and finding ways to help, donating and even traveling here to do everything they can. You know, people that can't sit by while this evil continues, no matter what they're babbling about in Washington. And this is so it's such a great sense of interconnectedness. And so thanks to Jim and to Elke and Beata, our volunteer lead in Warsaw. She and Jim selected those shirts for your team, Bob. And so it's a good festive thing for the holidays and hopefully reminders of no matter how much darkness there is, you know, as long as good people keep will not stop as long as we can cooperate with each other. Mm-hmm. And so I saw the news just maybe an hour ago. There was a U.S. Marine veteran. He was a native of Ireland, and he fought in Iraq, and then he got a green card in the U.S., and he said he was living a contented life in a pleasant suburb with a white picket fence. His name is Graham Dale, and he was watching what was happening here, and he said, look, I have skills to help. I got to go fight. And he was just killed in battle. In Avdiivka, near Donetsk, and he was 45 years old. And by all the accounts, he was killed while he was gunning down the enemy. 18 Russians died during his last stand. So these are the people from volunteers like Jim and supporters like Elke and the audience in Chicago to U.S. Marine veterans who come here. These are the people who are standing. With this idea, not just of freedom in some vague way, but that decent people can live without having to be controlled by tyrants.
Another reminder about how important it is to not ignore what's going on in Ukraine. What's happening in Israel needs our attention, and it is certainly important, but let's not drop the ball on Ukraine here. This embroidery on this shirt, it's beautiful. I feel like I should do some sort of Cossack dance when I wear this. Joe, will you be able to mark the holidays at all and get a little break there?
Yeah, I hope so. I know we'll have a break from this broadcast next week, and especially here in Lviv in Western Ukraine, Christmas is something very sacred to the people, especially in these dark times. So, no matter what happens, even if there are missile strikes, I know people will continue to celebrate it. And best wishes for Christmas and the holidays, Bob, to you and to everyone, WGN.
Right back at you, Joseph. Peace. That's our prayer for you. We will talk in the new year. Be well.
Yeah, you got to wear that shirt on Christmas Day.
Oh, I'm going to. I'm going to impress the family, believe me. All right, have a good holiday. I hope you can, Joe.
Thank you, Bob.
Thank you very much.